Sound.
One last Lakuta from the previous circuit before we'll see if we can try to move on to the next circuit. So we were talking last week about the Machlokes and Rishonim, about just how literal to take the reason of Maichozes. Mar tells us that how do you know that Ritzicha is not subject to the regular rules of Pikuach Nefesh? You can't kill a person if you have to save your own life. Well, Svara Maichozes, how do you know that your blood is redder than the others? So what exactly does that mean? So the Rambam had somewhat of a startling understanding, or perhaps lack of understanding of that, because the Rambam depicts for us the following scenario, where it's going to be 100 lives against one. The goyim come and they say, either you hand us this fellow, or we're going to kill all of you, including this fellow. So the Rambam says, our hands are tied. We can't budge. We're not allowed a hand. To hand over a Jew to be killed is just not acceptable under any circumstances. So the Ramach, Moshe Koyim, Chachmi Pravan, says to cash against the Rambam. I understand. My Chozes, I'll tell you what's Chozes. It's 100 to 1. And the one goof is going to be killed anyway. Of course it's, my Chozes says that. So that led the Kesef Mishnah to believe that it could be that the Rambam understood that my Chozes is not really the source. My Chozes is a drush. My Chozes is a rationale. My Chozes is a philosophy. Something that we could talk about to explain to people, you know, why we're doing what we're doing, but you want to know bottom line, why is it? That's it. The Ritzicha is just not one of those avarus that shayach to the head of Pikuach Nefesh. It could be the reason being, we spoke a little bit about this last week, it could be that, because anyway, someone's going to die. So the whole svar of, you know, Yekor Nefesh Achas Yisrael, which is ultimately the engine that's driving Pikuach Nefesh, doesn't really exist because Palavach is someone's going to get killed. So according to the Rambam, when we look at a shayla of Ritzicha versus Pikuach Nefesh, we're not really looking at halakhically through the lens of Maichozes, but there were other Rishonim for sure took Maichozes very seriously. Toysos took Maichozes very seriously. Toysos altered some of the details based on when Maichozes applies, when it doesn't apply. So the Chorah, we have to take this Machlekes of Rishonim, just how serious Maichozes is, and let's see if we can plug it to the following shayla. What would the din be if I want to save Pliny by killing somebody else? So I'm going to embark upon the aveya of Ritzicha to save somebody else. But I can tell you one blood is redder than the other. I'm going to tell you, I have criteria to measure one blood is redder than him. Well, criteria one. He's a bigger tzaddik than him. That's right. He knows more black and more than him. He's older, he's younger. Those are criteria that don't, those are not accepted by Allah. But I'll give you a criterion that does. It does meet the halacha requirement. What if Pliny's life, even if somebody takes it, will not be chayv misa for that action? Whereas Almoni's life, the other fellow, if somebody takes his life, there will be chayv misa for it. That seems to indicate that one life is more precious than the other. One life in halachic objective categories is more important than the other. Give me an example. What kind of case would you have? Oh, so Treif. Treif is a tricky one. Let's think something that we already know about. Uber. Let's go back a couple of seconds back. Okay, Treif is going to be Uber. So let's talk Uber for a moment. Uber, let's chaz it for a second. Killing an Uber, is that even Ritzicha? Are we even learning the Sukha Ritzicha? Depends on you ask. According to Rashi, it's not even Ritzicha. According to Rashi, we read it in the Dayak. It's not Nefeshim. It's not Rebbe Sirtach. But the Rambam is very, very clear that it's Ritzicha. How do I know? And second of all, the Rambam says the reason why the Mishnah always tells us that Kozman, the baby's head hasn't come out yet, the reason why you're mechuyev to save the mother's life even at the expense of killing the baby is because of the Parsha of Rodef. Unlike Rashi, who says the reason why you take the life for the Uber is not yet a life, the Rambam doesn't say that at all. The Rambam says, in effect, the Rambam says it is a life. It's a life, but there's a din of Rodef. Why is there no role that after the baby has come out? That was very emotional. Many Ashkenazim will talk from a couple of shiurim before. So according to the Rambam, I have an issur ritzicha. When I go under those words, and I say the low sirtzach, according to the Rambam, including that is an abortion. Abortion is mamish, a violation of sirtzach. But even the Rambam concedes, Chayv Nisya not, that's beferish. Of course, you're not Chayv. Maybe a Goy is Chayv Nisya for that. It's a different story, but for a Jew who performs an abortion, it's for sure not going to be Chayv Nisya. So obviously, an Uber's life is not as quote unquote as red blood as the regular person's. So it's Ritzicha, yes, but clearly my chos is going to break down. So what would you say now? According to Rambam, according to Rashi, is a moot question. According to Rambam, what did the person comes to you and says, either you kill this Uber, or I'm going to kill you. What's the din? Is a person allowed to perform an abortion, according to the Rambam, in order to save his own life? What's the din? So the chor, I would say, it depends on just how seriously you take my chosis. If you take my chosis as the engine, the reason, or the whole story, this is the kaveya. So then clearly, the Uber is not as red. It's not as precious. If I would say, kill the Uber. But if the Rambam sheet there really is that my chosis isn't so important, that's not really the kaveya. That's the drush, but that's not the halachic mechanism. The halachic mechanism is that ritzicha is not meat unto the chiyya, finish, end of discussion. So according to the Rambam, you have no right to kill that Uber. And the chosis we're doing that way in the Rambam. Because what does the Rambam say? Why, if the Uber is endangering the life, if the Uber is mamish endangering the mother's life, why do you kill the Uber? What does the Rambam say? Only because of what? Because they're very different. What does the Rambam need to for? What does the Rambam say? Lefikach, because the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Tes and Chos Ritzeach says, is a din of Rodef? Lefikach, therefore, you kill the baby. Clearly implying that if not for the din of Rodef, you wouldn't kill the baby. Why not? Kill the baby. His blood is not so choshev. The answer is going to the Rambam. It doesn't matter. It's the Rambam Shittah. The same way the Rambam says, you don't make calculations. You have 100 against one. It doesn't matter. The tzicha is not meat of the dechia. There's only one time and one time alone where tzicha can be violated. That's radif. That's exactly what the Rambam says. If the baby's actively being radif, the baby's getting causing the mother's death, that's called radif. The fact the baby's behaving itself, the fetus is not doing anything wrong. The fetus is wonderful. For the mother, everything. What are you doing? There's somebody who's asking you to kill the baby to save yourself. The baby's not ready to me. It's not an active redifa. So if I don't have a heter, there's no redifa you can. The chora, Elliot's example, I'll be the same also. What would it then be if somebody says to you, you kill Pliny, we're gonna kill you, and I happen to know that Pliny is a treifa. Now, being a treifa is a loaded question. We spoke a little bit about this on the Sunday morning show, but that was about treifas by animals. Treifas by animals, we have an entire body of Torah literature called the third paragraph of the Chachulet with eight categories, Allah Chorsini with 70 subcategories, Allah Hilchas Treifas, pages and pages and pages of Shulchan Aruch. In Hilchas B'nei Adam, almost nothing. Why not? Why do we have an array of halachic categories of Treifas by Adam? So it seems to be Machlokes that we're sharing about this. So Treifas, in a few places, seems to say, what do we need an array of halachic literature? Whatever it says by babies is the same as by people. And the Rambam says, no. The Rambam says, it's not true. The Rambam says, by people, what's called the treifa? There's no perek el treifas by people. Yes, the doctors. The doctor says, the guy's not going to live for a year. He's got some kind of a problem. That's some kind of an injury to somebody. It's not going to survive for a year. Does the treifa? There is no official category. So it's not even clear 100% how would you even define a treifa for a person. But one thing is clear. If you meet those criteria about defined as a treifa for a person, so then if you kill such a person, you're not going to be chayav misa. I mean, it's not l'sirtzach. It is, of course, it's l'sirtzach. It's l'sirtzach. It's like an Uber. According to the Rambam, it's l'sirtzach without the onus of misa. Oh, without an onus of misa, that shows it's not quite as red. The blood is not quite as red. No. What? Oh, so yotzei lihareg maybe, yeah, okay, maybe it's the same. Maybe opinion it's the same. Is that really even a disrepetitive altogether? There may be already a Gavra Katila. I don't know. That's things that I don't know better for that. That's the ninth
part. Technicality and what your punishment will be doesn't impact on whether or not you're actually killing a person.
So that's what I show. So you want to argue that your question my whole premise, that the misa is based on a lack thereof, is not an indication of the redness of the blood. It's in the eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the treifa is as precious as the perfectly healthy person, in terms of pure halachic standards. Why is it there's not kosher that there's no chiyuv misa? Maybe, if you're right, then the last 5 minutes of the year are off, right? Okay. But again, if you go down the route of the Rambam, none of this matters. According to the Rambam, we don't ask Shas about Mechazes. Mechazes is not the Kabbalah, it's not the engine anyway. It's just the Drush. So again, that's a little bit of the Shirayim from the previous. Now we embark upon the next Sugya. Does the Baba by Nalam and Aleph? So finally, the Gemara came to the conclusion that there are Gimel Averis and Chamuros. Ritzicha and Gilei Ra'is, everyone always agreed to. Avodah Zarah was a Machlokes. Whether Avodah Zarah is only heard by Yabu for Hesya or even Tzina, and the Gemara says, "Nimnu v'gomer." We pass it absolutely. Oh, we pass in that it's that's heard by Yabu even with Tzina. But for Hesya was never Machlokes. But Tzina was the Machlokes, and for that we pass it. It's the same as Ritzicha and Gilei Ra'is. It's interesting. There's a fascinating Tosfos in the sense of Avodah Zarah. But Tosfos raises the question, do we really truly paskin that Avodah Zarah is from the big three? It's a machlokes Tanaim, not so pasha. So Tosfos quotes, maybe one could argue that we paskin that Avodah Zarah maybe, is not always Yerod Vayama. If it's Betzinah, maybe, there are Tanaim will say it, Rabbi Shmuel says it, Tanaim will say that. So maybe we should accept that view that Avodah Zarah is not Yerod Vayama, it's Betzinah. So Tosfos has one of the most strangest questions against that possibility. Tosfos says Masechet Avodah Zarah the following question: Chas v'shalom lomer davar kazeh. Chalila to say such a thing. Chas v'shalom to say that should be the din. What kasha is that exactly? It's a very, very strange kasha. You can almost see like the emotion. This was real. This was not some lambda shashia that we're shooting the breeze in Bergenfield in 2022, you know, about the Yerba Yafa. This was they live with this day in and day out, the Crusades. This was Maisa Mechal Yoyim. So Taisa says, Chalila v'chalila, it's nimna v'gomu, like it says in Sanhedrin. In the end of the day, it probably would have been made an iota of difference, no difference anywhere in the Middle Ages. Because it was always a Ferhesia, it was always Shas HaShmah, it was a Ferhesia. The only nafkamina would be if a guy comes, Shalom Bishas Hashpar, and Mashugana comes on a desert island and puts a gun to your head, bow down to the idol. So some Tanoim would say you should bow down. And even that, we don't pass the way. So Lamais at the end of the day didn't make much of a difference. But Taisus got so, they got like the blood was like almost boiling. Chalil, Chalil, Lama, the Barkas. Anyway, so the bottom line is about a Zarg, the Rash, the Dom, it's all you heard me now. So comes the Gemara and continues, four lines to the bottom of that Naman Alf. Kiyasar of Dimer Rabiechim. Lo shanu el shlo b'shas k'zer samalchus. Was b'shas k'zer samalchus afilu mitzvah kali her v'yam. Boom. But there's a decree by the government to try to uproot mitzvahs in the Torah. Even a mitzvah kala is yehor v'yam. We'll skip down a few lines to the last line on Amud Aleph. My mitzvah kala, what's an example of mitzvah kala? Amar Rav Rav Yitzchok, Amar Rav, at the top of Amud Aleph, afilu l'shinui arkasa de mesana. The only thing I could say with fairly certainty has something to do with shoelaces. What with shoelaces, I'm not sure. Something to do with shoelaces and something to do with some grandiose physical the mitzvah kala to be determined. But putting aside the shoelaces, the din is clear that everyone agrees to the statement of Rabbi and Rabbi Yechanan that if it's Shas HaShmad, so be it. Why? Why is that in that one? Where'd that come from? All the other dinu yarva yavo psukim as far as their ISIS, of course, Sinai, Acacia, etc. Where did this new category come from? Unclear. Rashi has a somewhat of a puzzling comment. The bottom Rashi says, "If you look at the yarva shall ya gilu ha edikachavim lahamrich es halavavas lekach." Rashi says, "Because if we don't do this, what's going to happen?" Tomorrow you're going to give in to the shoelaces, and then the next day it's going to be Kashrus, and it's going to be Shabbos, and next day a trend is going to begin. It's almost like Rashi is almost saying, like we call it a slippery slope kind of thing. It's not going to end. It's the bottom line. That's quite a statement. That means we're telling people basically to give up their lives. What kind of halacha is that? Where does that fit into the grandiose scheme of things? Wasn't the starting point, at least according to the Rambam, we couldn't volunteer to live your life. What does this mean? So remember we had a Shtickel Torah two shiurim ago, that even the Rambam may can see that there is a notion of like Shas HaShmad in the sense of like make the milsa, machaber shalom adin, when things are for very extraordinary circumstances, So the halacha permits you to do things that would otherwise not necessarily be permissible. Beizin master, you know, even Bakuba say, if it's just l'shal, if it's just an emergency kind of a measure, could that be what's going on here also? That Chazal sized up that this is an emergency. He's here, the goyim are coming mamish to destroy others. So we have to draw the battle line. We got to draw the line somewhere. So the line's got to be at the furthest point. We got to draw the line in the sand. Because otherwise, nothing like started, the entire thing's going to go down. They quote from the Rav that Rav said that sometimes the goyim, they have a better understanding than we have. It means if the goy is picking on this Jewish practice, the goy knows, he figured out subconsciously that somehow this is like the glue that's keeping us going. This is like it's keeping us together. It's like binding us together. He says, if the goy is picking this out, as a raya brewer, that's something that's very important. In terms of pure halacha, it's not so important. Whatever the shoelaces are, whether they're red or black or this or that, but whatever you think the sun is, if that's objectively too important. And if all the Jews lived together on a desert island, we wouldn't make a fuss for a guy who doesn't wear the right shoelaces. But if the goyim are picking on that, haraya, that somehow they realize that this is what's connecting the Jews, Levim, Shema, Shemayim, and you have to draw a line in the sand. Interesting insight, historical, psychological insight into the sugya. But a couple of times, getting back to that story. There is a Gemara, a very famous Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, that throws a curveball at the sugya. Sugi Masechta Shabbos on Daf. It's been tested out, if I'm not mistaken. All right. He's about going to find one of the most puzzling, inspiring, and strange stories in the Gemara. It tells a story about a fellow by the name of Elisha Baal Knafayim. So we have strange name. So comes the Gemara and tells us as follows. The Mikrole Bakrapak, see where it says Gemara, when the Gemara starts about 3-4 lines down. The Mikrole Bakrapak, where do you get such a name? Shabbat Machas, Gazer Machas, Rome, Yerushal, Zero Yisrael. One time, the Roman government made the following decree. Shekol Benich Tfilin Yinakur as Mocho. Anyone who's caught wearing Tfilin, they're going to break his head, smash his brain. Elisha Benicham. Elisha was wearing a tefillin. The Eitzel Shuk. He's walking in the street wearing his tefillin. Ra'o Kasador Echad. All of a sudden, one of the Roman policemen saw him. Ratzli Parab. So Elisha saw that he was spotted. He ran away. Ratz Acharav. And the Romans running after him. Kevich Yetzlai. He caught up with him. Roman cop caught up with Elisha. So as he's about to be overtaken by the Roman policeman, Nopan Meraisha quickly grabbed his tool and took him off. And he's holding on to them. I'm alone. So the Roman said to Mazde Biodecha, what do you have in your hand? I'm alone. I'm holding on to a dove. I'm holding on to the wings of a dove. Black dove, pigeon. Yonah, been a pigeon. So maybe he was hoping the Roman didn't see so well. I talked to somebody today, and I was driving, and he was driving. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of conversation, so he says to me, "Rabbi, I got to hang up on you. I just got pulled over." So he calls me back 2 minutes later. I said, "I'm so sorry. You pulled over talking on the phone." He said, "Yeah, but I wasn't holding the phone. The phone was there. The cop pulled me over. He thought I was holding something." Baruch Hashem, his own exchange explained to him that I wasn't holding anything. So, kachava, a little bit more dramatic way. He thought he was holding his tefillin. Me, tefillin? No, come on, policeman, officer, you didn't see right. Pushed his yado, and he opened up his eyes. He opened up his hands. Benimtu kanti yoina. And by golly, it was the wings of a yoina. The coroner of Elisha Balkanifai. That's what they call Elisha Balkanifai. But Maishna kanti yoina, why did he pick such a wonderful thing to say? The Jewish people are compared to a yonah, So just as a yonah's wings protected, so too the mitzvahs protect life. So a beautiful story, mamish. It's one of those tear jerkers, you know, heartwarming, warming stories. I've said this many, many times. The Hasidim read the story and wow, what about Mamish about Moifus, a real Rebbe. He's a real Makalei, a real Rebbe. And the Misnagid looks at this Gemara and says, I have a strong kasha. Why do you think it's filling off? I'm thinking about the Rebbe. It's a chashas hashmad. At least you're not going to fire him, did the wrong thing. She'll let you in. So we all know, all the Rishonim were, all the Snagid. They all hear the kasha. All the Rishonim, this guy tells you the Rebbe, all the Rishonim, all the kasha. What happened? Why do you think it's filling off? So Taisus on the spot is an interesting idea. Taisus on Mem Tesmaf, not the Barosha. The Alpha Gav Jarvi said, Hedri Bishas Gesarach, Mitzakal Jarvi Ayavar. I feel the Shri Akhazad of Misano, sir. So Taisus says, why is there a din of Yehovah Ayavar and Mitzakala? What is it all about Mitzakala? Tfilin's a pretty big mitzvah. Why is it not even Mitzakala? Hainu Mishum, the Bishinoi Arkasa Misnai Ka'evi Kechavim. Now this Taisus is giving us an insight as to why Aksa Sana is so important. It's not objectively important. What really is important is that the person, by switching the shoelaces or putting on the red and the black, whatever he's doing with Aksa Sana, he's basically announcing to the world that he's a goy. And that's your Harba Yahweh. You're not going to say you're a goy. You're not going to say you're not going to be a That's the problem. So it's not that there's anything halachically wrong with the shoelaces. Shmuelaces, who cares about the shoelaces? That's tantamount putting up a big sign, and he's lo Yehudi. That's the problem. Well, hocha, you know, it's a klum. Here, like not wearing tefillin? But, well, at 2 o'clock this afternoon today, who here was wearing tefillin? If you are, then you would not be shocked with the light. Who's wearing tefillin? I have to be careful. If not, I say that question, maybe most answers, maybe yes. The government gets what they want. Of halacha, ain't always the klum. Baruch Hashem, we should say. We should give halva da'at to Baruch Hashem. You know, these are the government in the old days. They were telling people, you put on tefillin, they're going to smash you. The worst we're hearing is that we got dam shachs at 9 o'clock in the morning. Never chnatz or natzal darim for some people. Ella she'ein lo tefillin v'roishai shach. How many souls are in tefillin? Come on, a lot of people aren't wearing tefillin. Not wearing tefillin is not an announcement. Chmir agoy. So Tosfos literally killed two birds in one stone. Two birds, two cats, two in one stone. Tosfos solved that dilemma from the beginning of the sugya. Where did this thing come from? That Harva Yava. So Rashi had to give you this shot that it's a special thing. It's a unique. It's a Harasha. Make the milsa shul Torah. It's Rashi. And Tosfos said, no, it's Harva Yava to announce publicly you're going to this. That's Harva Yava. And therefore, we understand, but that didn't apply to the children's story. Just as an aside, why is that Yehovah Yahweh exactly to announce that you're good? And what if the guy really puts up a big, walks around with a sign and says, Zichbin Agoy? Why is that Yehovah Yahweh? Which of the Gimel Averes Chavurus is that? They're wearing the red, purple, green shoelace, whatever the shoelaces are that indicate that he's a goy. What is the Yehovah Yahweh? So, Lefiani is Daiti, what I think Tosfos is driving at is as follows. In the ancient world, including till about 200 years ago, there was no such concept as a secular human being. That concept didn't. Bein biyadus, bein lahavel bein atav latar, in other religions, there was no such thing as being a secular person. Everybody was you believed in some form of religion. Religion may have been Judaism, may have been other things, may have been paganism, but you believed in, everyone believed in something. By default, if you weren't Jewish, that was the only monotheistic religion around. And if you weren't Jewish, so then that's tantamount to saying, Ich bin Rebbe Rebbe Zohar. And yet, I'm not saying everybody was so from in the old days. Not all the Jews were so from, not all the Goyim were so from, 100%. But at least you were a card-carrying member of the Rebbe Rebbe Zohar. So by saying you're not Jewish, that's tantamount to saying, Ich bin Rebbe Rebbe Zohar. So that is Rebbe Rebbe Zohar. That's made the Vedazara. But it means saying, I'm an Ovid of Vedazara and bowing down to the Lord. That's what it means. I accept the book. That's an act of Vedazara. So when the Ramah, the postman, Shechorah, quote this from Yishonim, that if a person comes up to Gunthi head and says, are you Jewish? You're not allowed to say no. Because if you say no, you'll be made the Vedazara. Well, if Fiani is that, then we never have Paschal Shilas. I know that applies to his mother's Evachal. If somebody puts a gun to your head and says, do you believe in an idol? And you say, yes, that's a Maida Bavadzar. somebody says, are you Jewish? And the guy says, no, I'm nothing. Doesn't mean I'm admitting I'm a Christian. I'm not going to say anything. So I'm not Jewish. I'm a secular, humanistic, ethical, you know, Western civilization kind of a guy. So why is that? And he's not even saying he's an atheist. I believe in Hashem. I don't believe in organized religion. This father is a. So I'm not sure whether this Tosis is tight in Knox of the Masada would be true, but it's not. Yeah, just a thought. Getting back to that story.
What are you doing stories when you show up?
Said that they were going.
Who dressed up?
As going. I'm not judging anything. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying that for a person, for a person to say that they're a goy, I don't think it's your own album. Just like we're going to Lafian is not, I think that should be that. It's not your to say a person say I'm a goy, it's not your Herbayama. Because saying that you're a goy just means you're not a Jew, it doesn't mean you're nothing, it doesn't mean you're nothing.
Better answer. Not a member of the organized religion.
So everybody say, but what do you think of Deutsch's Kasha? That if not for their analysis of why Aksa the Masana is Yerub Yavor, Tefillin would have met them more. Let's say Lu Yitzuya, that the reality would be that Jewish men always wear Tefillin. 24, everyone's always wearing Tefillin. And not wearing Tefillin is tantamount to saying that you're good. So then, who would have been Yerub Yavor? Yerub Yavor,
the it's sort of nice, right? It's not Mashal.
Right.
So, Nilan, even if he were to be assumed to be at Obeah Zara, it's really still not Yarov or Yavor because it's believed by son.
But when it comes to words.
Right. So if you have like Shabbos, after Machal Shabbos, this Shabbos, and you can live the next Shabbos, if it's Zara and Dibor, you do something so you can live for next week.
I'll quote your Pasuk in Chumash. Comes the Gemara and says, if a person makes a statement, he's Makabal, another God, the words alone, that's a Vedazar. If a person says the Makabal, this is my God, that is a full force of Vedazar.
Even though he doesn't mean it.
Right, but the same way the guy was told he's got to bow down to the idol. Right? So Tosis says this kasha. Tosis says the kasha. How could it be that there's a din of Yehar by Yavah? Finish your Tosis earlier and said, how could it be a din of Yehar by Yavah of Venezara if the guy doesn't believe it? So it's not an act of Venezara. So Tosis has multiple answers to that. So one answer Tosis says is, no, it's Yehar by Yavah because the guy thinks it's a Venezara. That's the Chel Hashem Shabbat. Chel Hashem is that everybody sees you bowing down to an idol. You've given up the fight for Kadosh Baruch Hu. You are succumbing to the goy who's asking you to bow down to the idol, even though in your heart and soul you don't believe in it. So Enochadam, it's a person. This was also Ma'is B'chayim in the Middle Ages when the Crusaders would come and they'd say, you know, we're going to kill you if you don't do. What were they asking the Jews to do exactly? What were they asking? They were asking them to sacrifice an idol. They were asking them to pull. What were they asking them to do? What do you think they wanted them to do, Chalila? They wanted them to say they're accepting Oiso Ish, to sprinkle a few drops of water on them, and then they go to the next town. They're not checking up, and no one's going to check up on them. No one's going to care. Thousands of Jews could have saved their lives. They're simply just saying, Makabal Oiso Ish is Hagar. That's it. That's all they had to do, and they would have been saved. And the din is an Alan, Eilah Hechisro. That's Bamash of Rizal. So you're right, Henry, you're right. In most areas of Allah, Hadiba is not Kemaisa, but of Rizal it is. So back to that story. So Tosis Pshat in this Gemara is not the only Pshat. The Ran, I put it on the Mar Makomus, the Ran, the back of the Gemara Masech Shabbos. So the Ran, it's Dibra Maschil Umakshu. Did you come through that Ran? Okay. It's Dibra Maschil Umakshu. It's right when the lines get wide, so it's the second of the paragraphs we have to do with wide lines. Umakshu, Mishan Rabbah the Kasher, Elisha Shahelo, Lufnof yehechtam nurosho. Elisha no ptur from tefillin. He was chayv. The context where the round, that's the context of the Gemara. Yeah, Gufnoch, he was chayv in tefillin. So why did he take it off? But kaim lan preparing ceremony. Bishasik zeh to the ox. The misani erba yavo. The Yeshloma, the Ram gives a radically different answer to this. The Yeshloma, the Hani Mili, Lavar on Mitzvah Salosa say, Aval Gozru Levata Mitzvah Sese, came to an Ovi Biadayim, Mutter, a couple of gears issues here, but that's probably the way it reads it like that. What did the Ram just say? That the Gemara Sanhedrin makes it sound like you have to be Maisa Nefesh for every single thing under the sun, no matter what. The Ram said, no, that's not true. Every single what, Rabbi say? Every single iser, every single prohibition, every single law. But not to do a mitzvah essay? No, no. That's not your Rabbi now. Now, if you would just stop and not read the next line of the Ram, why would you think that's true? What's the svar l'chalek? What's the svar between the Losa says and the essays? I mean, we know that Losa says are different than essays. The simple pshat, I was learning Yavamas these days, the simple pshat at the beginning of Yavamas is that Losa says are more chomer than a mitzvah says. Doing a prohibition is worse than not performing a mitzvah. You guys, a choice between eating chazer or not hearing shofar, so the eating of the chazer is worse. Why? Because you're actively doing something. So in the hierarchy of mitzvahs, Losa says, a more serious transgression than mitzvah says. That's what Gemara said in the first Begum Yavamis. That's why Eser Dech Losa is such a mechudish type of thing. Because La Losa Eser, Chomimineh, that's where Kiveg is Mitzayim to the Ramban. The Ramban of Torah sounds like almost the opposite. Maybe that's not the most kind of thing. Gemara, Losa Shikul Torah to the Ramban. But the simple pshat in the Gemara Yavamis says Losa Eser is a mechudish. So the Chari, what the Ran is saying is that in the hierarchy of mitzvahs, now again, we don't like to rank mitzvahs too much. Because the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, you know, Hevi Zorach Mitzakal v'chamura. But that doesn't mean there isn't a ranking of mitzvah. Of course there's a ranking. Of course there's a hierarchy. There aren't sugyas about kalas and chamuras in Hilchos Tshuva. There are loads of sugyas about kalas and chamuras. The Mishnah doesn't say all mitzvahs are the same. The Mishnah says, don't take the approach that only to go for the biggies. That's bad musar. That's not the right approach of an Issa. Go for everything. But is there a hierarchy in Havach? Of course there's a hierarchy in Tanoim didn't mean there's no hierarchy. It's special. So that's what the Ram sounds like. He's saying that Shas HaShema changes the rules a little bit, but doesn't change everything. It just elevates those things that we thought were a little bit more calm and probably wouldn't be worth to lose your life. For Shas HaShema, they become very important. But Yesh Gvul B'Dover, if it's only Mitzvah's essay, that's not even enough for Shas HaShema to elevate. If that's the Pshat in the Ram, so then who is the Ran not learning Shas HaShema like? Clearly not like who? Not like Rashi. Because remember, according to Rashi, what was Shas HaShema all about? It had nothing to do with Chumra Seisr, Bechlal. It was slippery slope. There's less of a slippery slope by tefillin than there is by shoelaces, which I don't know who's going to measure the slippery slope. Who else is the Ran obviously not learning like? Like Tosis. Tosis said, Shas HaShema, because that's like tantamount to saying you're an Ovid of an Azor. Ran's not talking that language. The Ran seems to be learning a third pshat in Shas HaShema. Shas HaShema means averus that otherwise a kal becomes somehow more chomer because of the stakes are higher. But even then, what? If this is the pshat in the Ran, so then the Ran has to look at Arkansas of the Misana and say there's something really, really serious about that. It's got to be more serious than what Rabbi say. Catch this. If Arkas of the Misana is your Rabbi Yavar because it's serious, and not putting on tefillin is not so serious, so it means the Avera involved, the Isser Gomor involved in Arkas of the Misana, that'd be a more serious Torah prohibition violation than not putting on tefillin. Is that true? What is Arkas of the Misana? What is it? So we never really defined it properly. Now let's go back to the ones in heaven. We're at the very top of Ayin Dalam Rebeis. Rashi tries to give you an explanation. Arkas of the Misana, Tzrochanal, Teshulis. שם דרך עוד בגחוב ובלקשר כך, ודרך ישרוע בעניין אחר. The goyim tied their shoes one way, and the Jews another way. כגון שיש צד יעדס בדובר, there's something like Jewish about it. I'm not sure what. ודרך ישרוע ליוס צנועים. It's somehow, somewhere, some shape or form, and what's a newer way of saying, it's hard for me to know what this means, but somehow, you look at this, say, ah, this is, that's how Ben Torah, this is from a yid, ties his shoes. Ah, that's how it's, torts together. Preaches like a guy, ties his shoes. Whatever that means. I feel the shiver is there, and Rashi says the punchline. She ain't ka mitzvah, for the time mitzvah is nisht. Ela mere bi alma. Yikadish is the shame. Rashi just touches up what for Hesiod Yisrael means. I'm not sure I got it down pat what it is, but I'll tell you what it's not. It's no mitzvah. Some minute, Rashi is very clear. Inkan mitzvah and minibi alma. I ask you, Rabbi Son, in the greater scheme of things, a Jewish quote unquote shoelace or a pair of tefillin? I mean, I know what Chazal say. It's a little bit, you know, coincidental. That's where they got the tefillin. But I think that's only coincidence. I don't think it's anything to that. It's cute. So, quite well, it's more important. It's a joke. So, obviously, the Ron is not learning this child of the Gemara. There's no way the Ron could be saying such a thing. Rashi could say such a thing, maybe. Maybe Rashi could say such a thing. But the Ron? Shai's going down a whole no. Shai's saying, you're defending Elisha Bakrifai. Saying, you're telling me that I'm doing an aver but take off my tefillin? That's your question, basically. What's it? That's it. And I come to Shachos at 7, and by 7:40 I'm out to go take my tefillin. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, you take off your tefillin. Everyone takes off the tefillin at 7:40. So, what did Elisha do so bad? Elisha's mechuyv to keep his tefillin on hold? That's in a nutshell, I think, what you're asking, right? Okay, we have to fine-tune that. Probably next week we'll have to fine-tune that answer because there are Rishonim who give that answer. Ritzvah gives that answer. But I just want to understand what Aksa Misana means in the worldview of the Ran. I tell you what, it doesn't mean like Rashi. So there must be something else going on in Aksa Misana. What is that something else? Let's take a look at it. Mamakomis to put the riff in Sanhedrin on the Mamakomis. And if you design a base without a riff, it's the first wide line. If you ask them, it's Perush. Hanochrim Shabbos Azman, Hayosu Ritzuol Shemin Aleim Adumos. The Goyim would have red shoelaces. For Yisrael, Hayosu Shchairus. And the Jews would make Davka black. Does it make the slightest bit of difference? Rashi tried to give you some explanation. Rashi didn't say calls. Rashi said the tzura, how you're tying them. One's motzanua, less than what. The Rif says, it's not to do with tzinius. Why are the Jews wearing black shoelaces? I'll tell you why. You know why? For one reason and one reason alone, because the goyim are wearing red ones. That's why. Kedei shalo yilbashu malbush nachri. Should it dress like the goyim? Im yoyim ha-nachri Yisrael, also Ritzil, v'yistalech adumos, yor v'yavu. What did the Rif just say? It's a Mechukosemus and Lechu kind of a thing. That's what the Rif is saying. It's a love, quote unquote, of the Torah. It's a nisa what you're doing. To go ahead and mimic the Goyim and wearing this color shoelaces, because that's what the Goyim do. I want to be like the Goyim. Dos is your that's your Vayav, it's Chosemus and Lechu. Lechor and the Ran said something came this Rif. In the hierarchy of things, which is a worse violation? Violin Chosemoselechu and not put it on tefillin. I'll tell you a secret. Chosemoselechu is worse. You know why? It's a love. You did an action. It's an avera. Everyone would agree that if I'm saying you either eat chazer, don't put it on tefillin, you say eating chazer is worse. But Chosemoselechu is also a lot of the term. Why is there any less than eating chazer? So we have a lot of things flying around now in terms of what the lumdus of Aksa Dursana is. We have at least three different sheets floating around Rishonim. And just practically what the words mean And everyone's trying to solve the same dilemma. What's with Elisha? Why is he taking off his stones so fast? What happened to Yerba Yavor? So Tosfos said, not wearing tefillin is not Yerba Yavor. That's not a demonstration of being a goy. It just means you're not wearing tefillin. Everybody else not wearing tefillin. And the Ran is saying, no, don't do being a goy, not being a goy. It has to do with hierarchy of Averis. Oxen the sun is bad. It's a lot. Not putting it in tefillin. Shmuel, what's not putting it in tefillin? It's only in tefillin that says altogether. But now, let's go back to the Ran. The Ran now offers an entirely different picture about what happened to Elisha. It's the ode. Let's go back to where we left off. That Dibur Maslo Makshu, second line to the end of the second line, Dibur Maslo, the ode. The ode, a new answer, a brand new answer why Elisha had the right to take over his throne. But the Ran says something entirely different. The Ran says, by mitzvah's essay, it doesn't make any sense to give up your life. Not because they're lower than Losa says. That was the first answer. Because what's the guy's goal? His ambition is to get you as a Jew not to wear tefillin. Guess what? He could do that easily. He'll take your tefillin away from you. Come on, we'll lock you up in jail. You won't be wearing tefillin. He's going to accomplish what he wants anyway. So why should I give up my life for him? Which ain't gay. And the goy is trying to get you to do an aveira. If I say, no, I'm not doing the aveira, he can't. How's he going to force me? He's going to shove the food down my mouth. How's he forced? I'm going to keep my mouth tight, my lips tight. I'm not going to eat that tray for food. I'm not going to put on those trays for shoelaces. I'm not going to do the aveira. When it comes to things, Bekuda say, at the end of the day, I'll win the battle. I'll be successful. I'll make the Kiddush Hashem. So you're my Yavor. But Mitzvah's essay, it's a losing battle. He's going to stay anyway. He's going to accomplish his feat anyway. Why should I get killed? So according to the Sam John the Ram, you're seeing lobs and essays. It's nothing to do with Chumr Sa'isr. It has to do with Mitzvah's. It doesn't. You don't accomplish anything by putting up such a fuss to think about a Mitzvah's essay. You're going to lose anyway. So we have a few answers in the Rishonim. Why? L'chora Elisha should have been my son Nefesh. It's Shas Hashmad. Tosfos gave Ishtikul Torah. The Ran gave Ishtikul Torah 1. The Ran gave Ishtikul Torah 2. But the premise of all the Rishonim was that Elisha did something wrong. There was some kind of an aveira, something that he did, and now we have to try to finagle and figure out why that action or this unaction, lack of action of Elisha, why that shouldn't have fallen into the category of Yerba Yavah, Shas Hashmad. There's a whole other approach to Rishon. If that's the approach that Shai began to take, that who said he did anything wrong? What's wrong with taking off your tefillin? I'm going to take off my tefillin tomorrow morning. If one takes off the tefillin, what's wrong with taking off your tefillin? Why? What was the havamin of the Rishon? That was you heard by Yahweh. Next week, we'll have to talk about the tefillin angle. This week, we spoke about the you heard by Yahweh part. We'll have to find some little tefillin, try to understand the different approach to Rishon to this discussion.
The Chassid would say that there's no way he did anything wrong because if he did something wrong, Hashem would have protected him.
Oh, that doesn't, okay. Well, it's clear for the Gemara that the Gemara is putting him up on a pedestal as being a tzaddik. There's no question about it. We're just asking a woman to stop the kasha. So, hey, what happened to the Gemara? Okay, good.